If you would turn to Isaiah 41, what I'm going to talk about tonight is fear not. Isaiah 41, I love these verses. I had them painted on the walls down in El Paso. I like it so much. Anyway, verse 41, Isaiah 41, verses 10 and 13. Verse 10, God's word said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And verse 13 says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we love you so much. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. God, I pray that you would bless this time tonight, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me, give me the words to say to who it is in this place that needs to hear from you. God, thank you for your mercy, for your love, and for your goodness. And God, as always, we thank you for what you are going to do. In Jesus' dear name we pray. Amen. One of the things about that, and I told you about these coins and things, I am a guy who counts my blessings. I think that's important. And I'll tell you why. Because God can give us 7, 8, 9, 10 blessings. And if we have one problem, what do we think of? Now, God wants us to appreciate him and what he does. I know that. In fact, some of you young people looking for direction in life, God says that, and all their ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That means acknowledging him in all your ways. And the reason he can direct your paths is because you're listening, you're watching, you're thanking, you're talking to God, and then God can speak to you that way. God wants to speak to you. He loves you. Now, one of the things God taught me a lot about fear when I was down in El Paso, and Satan, of course, is the master of fear. Now, I think I've mentioned this in the past. Of course, one of the things I've said many times I learned down there. See, the good thing, the thing about the mission trips is I was going on them every time. We're doing the same thing every day. And I could see Satan always tried to stop us. And what happened, he would paint this picture. And believe me, he's a really good artist. He'd paint this picture in the path you had to go to. And it looked so awful that people would say, "I can't overcome that, so I better turn around and go back." That's how Satan wins. He can't. You have the Lord with you. If God's with your side, who can stop you? God before you, who can be against you? God's taking care. And I knew that what we're doing down there, we're taking God's word that he wrote to God's lost whom he loved. Of course God wants us to do that. So if something's trying to stop us, or if we were afraid to do something that God wants us to, if we feel fear, that fear isn't coming from God. God wants us there. He wants us to reach the people. He wants us to take the lost to him. So what I found is when you walk toward the problem, you walk, there it is. You get there, and God, he can, the difficulty is the distance between you and the problem. There is the difficulty, because those are steps of faith. You're making steps toward a problem you don't know how to fix. If you knew the answer to the problem, you wouldn't feel bad about going at it, but you don't. You're giving up to God. Say, "God, I can't do this. I have to have your help." And you walk right toward it. And when you get right up to it, boom, God clears it out of the way at the last minute. And you have this wonderful story of faith that God did it. And I want to tell you something. Glory to God, that lifts you up as wings as eagles when that happens. It is such a wonderful feeling to know the God of this universe loves you. And he answered one of your prayers. That is wonderful. He'll do that. But you have to be able to have faith and not give up just because it looks bad. I can't tell you how many times things always look bad, you know, when we take these mission trips, play, whether it be sky, all kinds of things. And there again, I mentioned that one of the things that God wants us to keep in mind, and I learned this down there in life, it's not the things in life that you have that get you to the place you want to go to. It's God. It's not the car, it's God. It's not the U.S. border guard who's going to keep you from coming back into the country. He's not the one who makes the decision, God does. You know, and I constantly would tell these people, Now, when you go out of the country and you come back in now, U.S. customs are very much, especially after 9/11, they're very particularly, they want to see it's easier just to sneak in through the fence than it is to come across the border illegally. But we go to the border. What we do, we have our buses, we unload the buses, and all the people would walk through, and the border guard would check each person's identification, passport. You had to have a passport. And then on the other side, we'd hop in and get on the bus and come back to the property there. Well, so you had to have your passports. And when we had teenagers, glory to God, they're wonderful, but sometimes memory isn't always where it needs to be. And so we would remind them before we left the property, make sure you have your passports. Or they'd say, everybody have their passports? And they'd all say yes. Okay, pull them out and look at them. So we'd make them pull them out and look. And then everyone, without fail, somebody'd run off the bus, go run up the room. They forgot it back in the room. So we did that. It was just a habit. We always did it. So we're over in Mexico, had this wonderful meeting, coming back across the border, and here we are. It's about to go back into the U.S. There's the border guard. We're unloading the bus. These five teenage girls, 14-year-old, they come up and said, we have our passports. Where are they? We're back in El Paso. We forgot them. I said, didn't you check when we told you to check in the bus? No, we didn't check because we knew we had them. Okay. I said, okay, this is what you're going to do. Just stay with me. We'll go through there. He said, well, what are we going to do? And I said, we're going to go up to the guard. What are we going to say to him? Said the truth. That's always the best thing, truth. Just tell him the truth. Yeah, look. So we're getting ready I'm getting ready. The person ahead of me is done, and these girls stand behind me, and I'm right there. They start bumping up against me. I said, relax. Pick up a little bit. So I walked up to the border guard, and I said, these girls, they forgot their passports over in. And before I went up to the guard, I turned to him. I said, it's not that border guard's going to get you back in the U.S. It's God is. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Yes, God's going to do it. So I go to the border guard, and I tell him these five girls, they forgot their passports. And he sits there and looks at them. They're standing, they are so not terrorists. They are so tourist. And they so look like they could forget something like that. Anyway. So he tells him to come up there, and he walks up, and he says, state your citizenship, and said, U.S., go on, U.S., took all 5 months through it. They were jumping around, God, God is through, glory to God. They were so happy. But the point is that it's not the car when you get someplace that gets you there. It is God. The car can break down any time. The car could blow a wheel. You could blow that front left wheel going down a highway, and man, head on into that semi. But God doesn't let that happen. He wanted you to come to church tonight. God is the one who gets you here. And you have to give him the credit for it, not your great abilities either. I knew being a driver, it had nothing to do with my great driving going down to Mexico. I'm telling you, it was God who saved my life 100 times, and I knew it because there's too many crazy people down there that drove all kinds of it, did anything they want. God is the one who gets you where you want to go. Once you understand these things, then you tend to more relax. The point is to not be fearful. Now, we had a storm. Now, storms was a big thing down there. We're trying to have a meeting and bring these people to Christ, and Satan always tried to stop us, as I said. Now, I would tell the people in the orientation before the week, Satan's going to try to stop us this week. But this week, God's going to get the victory. Satan is going to get whipped. That's what's going to happen this week. And the reason I can say that, and I know that's what's going to happen, is because whatever Satan puts up before us, whatever mountain he puts in the road, we are going to go through it. Then nothing, no matter what, we are going to have that meeting. So, and we've had many times a lot of things happen. Now, if you think about this for a minute, okay, we're going to have the meeting. I can't have the meeting if there's no people there. So if we're in a big field or something, a big giant storm comes up, all the people run home, then we go home too. There's no reason to stay out there. But we had a very unusual, this only happened once, by the way, very unusual situation. It was in a town over, it was in Juarez, in a town there. And the place where the people were was in kind of like a giant carport that was enclosed on all sides except the front. It was open. The people were in there. We were out in the street. So they were completely protected from any kind of weather problems, and we were out in the street. So I didn't think about that at the time, but I did think about that later. So as we're standing, it was a clear blue sky, I'm telling you. Just because that sky's blue doesn't mean that Satan can't cause you trouble. And as we're setting up for this meeting, we have stuff and canopies and things, you know, we're setting up sound equipment. This big wind, boom, man, it comes in. It just, I mean, 50, at least 50 mile an hour, and we're holding onto the canopy. And I thought, man, where did that come from? And then, and we're holding, trying to get, and everybody's holding onto things, you know, the wind's blowing like crazy. Now there was a bunch of Mexican people that were inside this thing. So they're watching us, we're outside now. And then, after that, then the sand comes. It's a sandstorm, you can't even see, everything is brown. You're just, it's blowing so hard. And believe me, having a canopy is worthless because everything is going this way. Well, then the third thing that happened, then it started to rain during the sandstorm. It created flying mud, and it was just going pop, pop. And pretty soon, finally the sand got washed out of this air, and the rain kept hitting you on the side, wiped all the mud off. But it was just pouring and pouring. The next thing that happens, it started this thunder and lightning. Boom, crash, and the lightning was ground striking around us. Bam, 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 boom. And it was just, it was unbelievable. And there was this noise, you couldn't hardly hear yourself think. So we're holding this stuff down, and I knew we're having a, you know, we have to pray about this. Well, then as I'm in the middle of this storm thing, I see these four American teenagers with us were in this store and came running out of the store. They had Cokes and potato chips, ran on the bus, and I'm watching them. And they climb on the bus, sit there by the window, watching us eating their chips and being to go. I said, this is like, hold this pole here. And I says, now listen, the only reason you can be on this bus is if you're praying for us out there. If you're not, get out there and help us. They all jumped up, and they could have stayed and prayed, but they all ran out there. So anyway, now this rain and this storm is booming and crashing around us. And then it starts to hail, and the hail's coming down. By the time I hit the hail, time that came, I said, this is Satan. He's trying to chase us out of here. He's going one level after another. How's this? Boom, boom. And I was angry. And you ever do something really foolish when you're angry? Say something really foolish? I was so upset. I'm standing on this canopy. I'm holding the 12-foot thing. I yells out, Satan, is that the best you got? That wasn't a thing to say. I'll tell you something about Satan. You don't talk to him. You talk about him. You can talk about him, but not to him. Didn't do any good for Eve, and that didn't do any good for me. I was standing there holding on to this thing, and there's hailstones are coming down. I'm over here, and I'm looking. And here's the canopy, 12-foot canopy. And I saw this. One hailstone went, phew, and nailed me right between the eyes. I thought, I shouldn't have said that. Man, that hurt. I thought, I was thinking about that. You know, here God's protecting me, and Satan's going, he said, you heard him, he said, come, I can do this now, because he's, anyway. So here this exploding storm going around. By the way, the Mexicans came for a show, and they were really getting one. They were kind of like, you know, look at these guys. So I had to scream to the person next to me for them to hear me. I said, let's start singing. What? So we started yelling, going around like this. So we started singing Amazing Grace. That's kind of funny. It goes, Amazing Grace. Bam, bam, boom, crash, pow, how sweet the sound. Boom, boom, boom. I'm thinking, and then we just kept on singing. Nothing but the blood. And you know, we're going on with these whole hymns. And I'm telling you, we screamed the singing as loud as we could do it. And you know, it's like somebody took a big pin into that big old storm. And the wind just kind of died down. The rain, the hail stopped. The rain went down to a drizzle. And when I saw that, I went, yell, quick, because we promised the little kids, we have a puppet program, we promised them a puppet stage. Quick, get the puppet stage out here. So we grabbed the puppet stage, got out there and gave this puppet program. Then I told the preacher, Mexican preacher, I said, go in and preach to them. Forget about our truck or anything, just go preach to them. And he preached to them, and the 25 people in there got saved. Amen. You know, and the point is, it really looked bad. It really looked bad. Say, what are you staying here for? But it wasn't so bad. Yeah, we got wet. But you know what? We dried off. And you know what? Everybody was really happy we stayed. In fact, they were just ecstatic about these people that got saved. One of the things that Satan tries to chase us out of there, but that doesn't mean, just because it looks bad, doesn't mean it's impossible. God can do anything. Now, we were down in Mexico one time, and we had one of our buses. We have the diesel buses. Any of you are a diesel mechanic, maybe understand what I'm about to say here. But we had the two buses down there, both loaded with people, and one of them, we couldn't start it. And then a mechanic come up to me, and he said, "Hey, Brother Jack says, we got a serious problem here because we have a vapor lock. And I don't know if, you know, we need prayer for this." So I said, "Okay." So when I'm on buses, I said, "Everybody listen. We got a situation with the bus. We need to pray." And I told them, "When we pray, everybody prays. Not just somebody said, everybody prays. We're all here. We need to come together. We need to pray." So everybody prays in both buses. So they started praying. And you know how some, you know, you ask people to pray like that. They'd pray and maybe 2 or 3, 4 minutes, and he stopped praying, went back talking. So then the mechanic came up and he says, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this thing to start." I said, "Okay." I went back in and I said, "All right, everybody listen. We need to pray. We have a serious problem here, and I want you to start praying. I do not want you to stop praying until you hear that bus take off and you hear the roar of the engine. And if it's 2 minutes or 2 hours, you keep on praying." But man, he went down and I started praying. 12 minutes later, boom, backfire, room, the thing started up. And I want to tell you, those kids came right out of the seat. "Yeah, man, we prayed and God answered a prayer." They were so excited. God could do that. He can. God can do that if we trust him that much. We say, "God, we're going to depend on you 100%. We're not going to try to come up with..." And by the way, when you pray, I'm just going to throw this in here. You know what the worst thing you can do when you pray? I mean, the worst thing about praying is when you ask God about, pray about something, and then you make plan B in your mind in case he doesn't come through. You know what God thinks about that? Oh, let's look at James. I'll tell you, that's important to tell you that one. And look at James in chapter 1. James is right there before, right near the back, before Peter. James, okay, James chapter 1, and God's talking about asking in faith. Look at verse 6, says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." And look at verse 7, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Folks, we are so, when we pray, you got to leave the decision up to God. We don't want to give him a chance to say no, so that's why we have plan B in case the prayer doesn't work. God is not fooled by that. Anyway, okay. Now, one of the things, by the way, I was talking about with the bus there, it wasn't the bus that got us back to the U.S. It was God. God was the one that got us back. And we had a meeting. We had a lot of storm things that come up, and they're a pretty common thing. We had this one meeting that... since we're talking about Satan here, there was one valley that when we have a meeting, we go there, and the Mexican pastor we're working with, he determines where the meeting places are going to be. We don't really know where they are, and he just has them. He knows where he wants us to be. We come over, we're there to help him, to help him grow his church. We've helped a lot of churches started because of the meetings. They want to start, they'd call us and say, "We want to have a meeting in this area. You come over for a week and give us meetings." He says, "Yes," so we do. But anyway, he says, there's this one kind of a valley there. We have terrible time over there. Nobody would even talk to us. They'd slam the door in our faces. And he said, "I'd like to have the meeting there." And I said, "Okay." So we're over there, and we're handing out John and Romans to everybody. And I could see a kind of a storm brewing over there. And then we start to set up. There was a lot of people, maybe about 100 people were come out there. And as we're setting up, I got these bunch of teenagers. I says, "You see that storm coming right there? I want you to pray about it because we want to have our meeting. Pray that God will take care of the storm." So they said, "Well, aren't you going to pray with us?" And I said, "You can pray yourself. Just pray that God takes care." So they go over there and they're praying. In the meantime, I'm over helping getting the setup thing, and I look over and the storm is like right there. And I said, "What have you guys been praying? And I don't know, things didn't look too good." So all of a sudden, kaboom, this storm comes blasting in there with rain and wind, and most of the people just scattered and took off running. And there was about 15 Mexican people that stayed. And so at least they stayed longer than the rest of them. So I got these bunch of teenagers, about 20 of them, onto this little tarp that's about 10 by 20 foot tarp to hold onto it to block the wind from these people. And so the pastor just got in with these people and this roaring storm going on, and he preached to them, and 15 people got saved. But it was just a roaring storm. And you know how you think, man, where'd that come from? And well, the next day we're on our way back into Mexico to see the same pastor again. And then one of the fellows that was on the trip was talking to me. And he says, hey, brother, you know, yesterday when I was passing out the John and Romans, there was a guy there that had this shirt on with this symbol on the shirt. He says, and I recognized it. I said, what was it? He says, it was a symbol of a satanic priest. I said, really? And he took the John and Romans? He says, yeah, I took it. He says, and when the storm was at its worst, on the hill above us, there was two of those guys with the shirt on like that, were standing like this. When the storm was just roaring, I said, what? Why didn't you tell me that? And he says, well, what were you going to do? Well, I don't really have a good, I probably would have done something dumb. I've done that in the past. And I said, well, I don't know, but he says, I said, I want to go back to that place. I said, Satan's not going to think he kicked us out of there. And he said, the Mexican pastor said, well, I don't know. They're predicting the same weather. It's the same, supposed to be the same today as it was yesterday. I said, I don't care. We're going to go back there. Satan is not going to kick us out of this. God can take care of this. We're going to go back to the same place. We go back to the same place. And then we have a lot more people show up, and a big storm's coming from the same direction. And we couldn't use a small. Now, if you know anything about been out in wind with tarps, the bigger the tarp, they're harder to hold on to when the big winds come. And there was a lot of people, so we had to get out our 20 by 40 foot tarp. We're holding it over the people, and here comes. And what happened was it started to sprinkle a little bit. The wind, a light wind came in and lifted it up, just like a band shell. As people, it went up about 10, 15 feet. And the guys were just holding on. It stayed that way. I'm telling you, the sky rumbled and growled and lightning were flashing around. Wind never blew that way. 180 people came to Christ that night. Satan is not to be feared by us. God does not want us to be fearful. He wants us to fear not. He wants us to be able not be afraid. You know, some of the people you're afraid to witness to, maybe the guy looks mean. Biker guys, and you kind of think, man, he might punch me out. Do you know those guys, once they get one to Christ, they're not afraid of nothing. They go and witness to people you couldn't witness to. Don't be afraid just because it looks bad. God, and let me just say, God doesn't want to try to terrorize you with faith. He doesn't even want you to have faith because he knows that if you have faith, he can bless you like he wants to bless you. He can give you the peace and love and the joy. Do you know what peace, everybody think you know what peace is, but you know, I'll tell you what God's peace is. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. It's a life without worry. Ever think about that? Do you think that's possible? I'm telling you it is. It is. God knows about that. God knows what real love is. God knows what, you know, you think, you know, love, you know, think of the apostle, my mind is going blank, James, the guys got around him, and they're gonna stone him, and they're gonna kill him. They were angry. They hated him. They were all hoping they'd be the one that get the rock that would kill him. And his last words were, "Lord, lay not this sin at their charge." That's love, folks, and forgiveness. I mean, that's so God's love, God's thing. God wants to give us these blessings of peace and love. You know, to understand the verse says, rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4:4. And again, I say rejoice. You think, how can you rejoice in the Lord always? You can. God can show you how to do that, how you can live a life like that, how you can have peace and joy and love. And, you know, it doesn't make any difference what's going on outside there. It doesn't make any difference. It's like our children, our little kids, they don't care who the president is. They don't care if there's, you know, dad might get laid off from work. They don't care because they don't worry about that. They just trust their parents completely. They know that 12 o'clock comes, they're going to have a lunch. God wants us to trust him like that, like a little child. That's how God wants us to trust him, completely and absolutely. God loves that because he will take care of you. One of the young men in our, is a teenage boy, And, you know, I'd always like to get the kids' attention, orientation. They first get there, everybody's kind of, you know, if I say something that they, what did he say? You know, that kind of thing. And I would, I'd say, and well, this week I might ask you to, might have to ask you to pray to stop a storm. What? You know? And at the end of this one week, this young man came up there at testimony time, and he said, you know, Brother Jarvis said that. He says, and I thought, no way that could happen. He said, but we had a meeting in the park. He said, and the storm was coming, and it was raining, and the storm split, just like the Red Sea, man. And it came like this. And a block and a half that way, it was flooding. It was raining so hard, and a block away, that way, it was flooding. But where we were, it wasn't raining because people were coming to the Lord. God wanted those people in his kingdom, so he just cleared the way for us. I want to tell you, God can do anything. We sometimes think that, you know, we get locked into ourselves and think, God wouldn't do that for me. God is no respecter of persons. You honor God, he honors you. It works that way. But you make the first step. You honor him first. You trust him first. You make that step of faith, just like those priests had to step in the Jordan River. Their feet had to settle in the Jordan River before it was going to part. And that thing was overflowing, man. That was a dangerous river. They thought, if that thing doesn't part, they're going to be down the river. But God was faithful. They stepped in it, and then it parted. That's what God wants you to do. That's the step of faith that we're afraid, we're fearful of doing. But it's a step toward a joyful, peaceful, I mean, joy, love, it doesn't mean it's an easy life, but it's certainly a life of usefulness to God. Our God is a good God. And I could, I'd be kind of easy here and going on here with all the things here, but I'm, there's many, many, I could go on about stories about the way he did the meetings, and he blocked the wind, and he stopped the wind, and 7 o'clock came when time for the meeting, it was raining like crazy right up to it, and he stopped it. One time it was raining across the street. Because we were having a meeting. God had something you want to get done. And we didn't give up. We didn't run away just because it looked bad. God did that. And let me say, there was a, let me tell you one last thing about a young man there. That he was in a Mexican church. He was about 22, 23 years old. And he had a little stand in Juarez that made hamburgers. Now, in Mexico, they don't make hamburgers the way we do, but these he made, call them American hamburgers. So he was making hamburgers, just a little stand on the side of the road. And this guy comes walking up, kind of a pretty big guy and dressed very well and pretty gruff, and said, what are you doing? He says, I'm making hamburgers. Well, make me one. So the guy, and then he, the young man, did what he did to anybody order him. He reached over in his big, got a bunch of Chick tracks. Hold on, just grab one out, hand it. Here's something to read while I'm doing this. Well, the Chick track he casually pulled out of there was one called The Assassin. I don't know if you... This guy said, hey, is what this track says true? And he kind of opened his mouth to say something. He says, because if I don't like what you're saying, what you answer, I'm going to kill you. And he pulls open his coat and he's got a 45 sticking out of his coat. And the guy opens his mouth again to say something. He says, I've already killed 4 people this week, and I got 5 more on my list. And it's like this guy said, the Holy Spirit kind of, and he says, look, the guy says, are you finished? And the guy said, yes. And he says, yes, everything in that book is true. God loves you. And then he comes up behind there. And he comes up, this guy, and he reaches up and he says, you know the father you've always wanted? He loves you, and he wants you with him in heaven. And this big, bad guy broke down weeping, and he asked the Lord into his heart. And he said, wait here. And he went and got another one of his assassin buddies, came back, and won that guy to Christ. You know, sometimes we think, boy, I don't know how I would handle a situation like that. If you trusted God, if you just say, God's with you, God put you there, he's got something coming. Don't be afraid just because something like that comes up, because God is going to depend on you. Our God is a good God. He does things. Let me just say that God does not want to terrorize you with this. He doesn't. He He wants you to have the faith that you have to live a victorious Christian life. That's what he wants. Now, I'm going to close with this little story here about a guy by the name of Horatio Spafford. Now, those of you who've heard about him, he wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And in the song, the reason he wrote the song was because there was a great Chicago fire, and he was taking his family over to England. And at the last minute, he had his wife and four little daughters. And at the dock, he had got called back on business. He couldn't go, so they went off alone without him. And on the trip, there was a freak accident in the middle of the Atlantic, and another ship crashed into that one in the middle of the night, and it sunk very quickly. Within 30 minutes, the ship sunk. And of course, he heard that there was that the ship sunk, and he was terrified and waiting. He finally got a message, telegram from his wife with two words on it that said, "Saved alone." And he knew that his four little daughters perished in that thing. And he was grief stricken. And he got into the ship going over there, and he had talked to the captain about this to get there himself. And when the captain woke him up in the middle of the night and said, "Here's the place where we believe the ship went down." And he started writing the song, It Is Well With My Soul. If you ever hear that song or read the song, sorrows like sea billows roll. You can imagine this man had these little children, and they died there. But that's not the part of the story I want to tell you about. There's actually was more to that story. His wife could not talk about that for 20 years. She could not talk about that night when that ship went down. And finally, after 20 years, they had more children, and one of her daughters asked her what happened. She said, "Well," she said, "it was in the middle of the night, and the bell started ringing and banging, and I heard a big crash." And she said, "I got all the children. I was carrying one, and the other three little girls were clutching onto her skirts." And she says, "I went to the place," because everybody at that time, they had a place to go to. You know what your boat was, And she went to the little boat that she was supposed to be in, and she was standing there waiting, but the ship was listing and sinking quickly, and the people were being terrified, and people shoved her aside, and the kids, and they jumped in her place. And they said, "Lower away," and say, "We're going down." She's sitting there thinking, "That was supposed to be my place. My family was supposed to be on that boat." And she didn't say anything. They just went down. She saw it start going away. Well, the ship was listing terribly, and one of the smokestacks broke and fell down and hit that boat directly and instantly killed everybody on that boat. Had she been on it, she would have died. But now she's on the ship, and the ship is listing, and the water's coming up the deck toward her. Death is at hand. And one of her little daughters, who was about to be with the Lord, said something that only a little child and simple childlike faiths could say. She perceived that her mother was afraid because the water was coming up there. And she says, "Mommy, we don't have to be afraid of the water because God made the water." Listen, to say, "God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll go anytime, I'll pay any cost," there's a fear in that. But you're putting your trust in God. Listen, God made the water. He's the one who's going to take care of you when you do that. It can change your life. Leave it up to God. It doesn't mean he's going to take you off and send you to the jungles. What it means is that God knows more about you and what you can handle than you do. What you want to do is say, "God, don't wait for God to call you. Say, God, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want. Our God is a good God. He does good things." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do love you so much. And we thank you for your mercy, for your goodness. God, we ask you to help us, help our faith, strengthen our faith, Lord, to honor you with all that we do and say and think. Help us, Lord, not to be afraid to trust you completely and absolutely and be willing to put even our lives into your hand. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your love. And God, as always, we thank you for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Pastor.